Yay! Okay, it's 1, 2, 3, and it is recording. You see that? So you can shut up off the recording.
Call this meeting to order at 6:32 PM. This is the Othello City Council's regular, city council meeting. Welcome, everyone. It's the February 22nd, 2016 meeting. And would you all please rise? Please bow your heads, and ask a prayer for the tonight's proceedings, for God's wisdom and blessing to be upon us all. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. Item 1.4 on our agenda is roll call. I noticed that all council members are present, so we'll move to item 1.5, citizen input. Is there any citizen here tonight who would like to, address the Othello City Council? If so, please raise your hand. I'll recognize you. You'll have up to 5 minutes. You'll come to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and you can address the council with any matter that, you like. Is there anyone? Hearing none, we'll move to item 2, approval of tonight's agenda. I'd entertain a motion now to approve our agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to item 3, our consent agenda. And, I would entertain a motion tonight to approve our consent agenda.
Make that one.
Second.
Motion's been made and second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Amber, just so you know, item 3.3 is a call for bids for official newspaper. Normal part of every February, we do this. Moving on to item, 4.1, award presentation. We have, Officer Seth Carlson and, Police Chief Phil Shank. Seth, and I see your families here. Welcome to the meeting, and, Seth is about to be honored.
Seth, come on up here, please. So the officers that serve our city do some great work just about every day. It's not very often that we get to do something, this exceptional. I can look back over my career and the times that I've been involved where I got to save somebody's life is very few. Most of the time it's arresting people, it's you know, trying to stay alive during your shift. It's, you know, the fact that, back in January, it's actually January 5th, Seth was able to actually save someone's life. He's still fighting for his life, but, I think it's quite an honor. So tonight what we're doing is we're awarding, I want to make this a point that we're doing this more often, but we're going to be awarding the life-saving ribbon to Officer Carlson. So I'll hand this to you right here. And that's for his dress uniform, which unfortunately we don't wear those a whole lot, and actually in some ways it is fortunate. We wear them at graduations and we wear them at funerals. So that's basically the only two times that we wear them. So hopefully he's not going to be wearing that a whole lot anytime soon. Now the other thing is, you know, tonight I'm also giving him what's called a coin. It's the chief's coin, and it's an award of excellence. And there's a long tradition in the military with coins. Many of us collected them. I only have a few. But General, and actually Wade probably handed a few of those out as a general. So I'm not a general, but we do have coins. So this is our Chief's Award of Excellence, and I've been here a year and a half. This is the first one. So, yes, sir. Congratulations.
Okay.
Seth, do you want to say anything?
I've never given him a mic before, so I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I feel blessed to have been at the right place at the right time. I don't think it was coincidental. A lot of people that night deserved this. There was other officers on scene, as well as the EMS personnel and the emergency room personnel that worked on him and saved his life. So I just want to give recognition to those people as well. Thank you.
Seth, I just want to say thank you. I know the family is very appreciative of your effort, which has, up till today, has saved this gentleman's life. And on behalf of myself and the Othello City Council, we are very proud to honor you tonight for your quick action to save this gentleman's life. Thank you very much. Okay. Let's move on in our agenda tonight. Item 4.2 is a memorandum of understanding with Teamsters Administrative Assistant. Chief?
Mayor and Council, what I have in front of you is an MOA, which modifies the Teamsters agreement. Currently, the administrative assistant that you all know as Lois Weiss works within the Teamsters union. As a union member, there's the work that I can't ask her to do. Research with the, for collective bargaining, typing disciplinary records, and stuff like, and filing and keeping and that kind of stuff organized. So one of the things that when we came to council and we approved the budget was a slight increase for that position in the event that we actually were able to remove the position from the union and create it as a salary exempt employee. So what you have in front of you actually provided the job description. I've met with civil service to change the civil service rules to allow this position to exist in this manner. We are leaving the position within civil service, but removing it from union. So that does give the that position some protections, but it allows, I think, a lot more freedom of what we can do work-wise. The position doesn't get overtime now, just for the fact there's rarely a need to work past normal business hours. But as a salaried exempt, obviously she would not be eligible for overtime. So the MOU here has gone in front of the Teamsters, has gone in front of our negotiator, Kevin Wesley. I was going to butcher that. So what I have in front of you, I'd ask that you approve. Questions?
Council? Do you have any questions?
No.
It's pretty clear. We've been talking about this for some time. Okay. I'd entertain a motion to authorize the mayor to sign this MOU with the Teamsters.
I'll second.
Okay. A motion was made by John, seconded by Gina. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 4.3 on our agenda, current business, is Adams County Permit System Update. Travis, our Community Development Director, has an update for us.
I do.
Can you hear me okay? Okay. Before I get started, are there any particular questions that you would like me to address or that you want addressed, or you want me to just bring you up to speed on what's going on?
Do that.
Okay. So, as part of the interlocal agreement with Adams County for the use of their inspector, it includes the ability to use the county's permitting system. It's called PermitTrax. And it's the system that they are currently operating, have been operating for several years. And they have created a new type of permits that allow the city of Othello to track our permit separately from the county, similar to what they do to Lynd and Ritzville. Let's see. And what it allows us to do, currently we kind of have a bumpy system since we've gone to using TIM, in that when someone has a question or wants to turn in an application, they come in and submit it here. They'll submit it in paper and electronically if they realize they need it electronically also. We then send over to TIM, we call him or we send an email to him asking him when he has a chance to come by and pick it up, or if he wants us to drop it off, we'll drop it off to him. He'll take a look at it, determine everything is there that he needs. And so there's a little bit of handoff issues that we're trying to address. And so the software that we are now assigned is PermitTrax. And this is essentially the scene, or they call this the dashboard, that all of the users have. So Tricia has one, I have one that's assigned to me, and Tim at the building department over there has one also. And there are essentially some main features here. There's a bunch of tools across the top. There's a My Review section here on the left. So those are the reviews that are to the person who opened this version of the software. There is a list of permitting histories. In this case, there are only two cases because we just got it updated and set up today. So there's building permit 2016 number one and 2016 number two. And these are the permits that I've looked at most recently. And then down here are the notifications. So we'll get into this in a minute. So of these last two permits that I've looked at, we'll go ahead and take a look at let's take a look at this one here. So I can open up. This is the building permit that's applicable for this case. And it tells me that it's applied, when it's created, whether they have any outstanding balance. And then the applicant's information over here on the left. It lets me know the address. It lets me know the parcel. It lets me know who the applicants and the associated parties are. Then the meat and potatoes is farther down here, and it's a list of events. In this case, there are two framing inspections that were requested. There is a building review. This is the actual review of the plans. And this is the list of all the inspections that are going to be due on this individual piece of property. Now, what's neat about this is it starts with the setback, then the foundations, foundation walls, rough plumbing, plumbing, mechanical, all the way through the framing, the insulation, right down to the final building inspection, and then the address checking. So it's in chronological order, so at any given time, if I were to open this case, I could look down here and see, in this case, these zeros mean that there are zero people pending for that review. Is it required? Yes, it is. Is it done? The answer is no. And so when someone requests, say, the foundation setback, a date will appear which will let me know that it's been requested but has not been completed. Now, if I go back to the dashboard, if I were to request a inspection by Tim, the building inspector, it would show up on his My Reviews. So today, I have no reviews, so there's nothing in this column. When I come in the morning, if Tricia has scheduled two inspections for me, I will see two inspections there. And I can't do it right now, but this GIS button actually allows us to take a look at the map and where they are. So for Tim, who's doing both county and city, if he comes in, he can take a look and figure out, okay, I have 10 inspections on my list today. He can look at the map and say, oh, four of them are in Ritzville and three of them are in the afternoon. So he's going to spend the afternoon up in Ritzville. It means he's got to get his other seven in town here before he leaves.
or vice versa. If he only has one in Ritzville and he knows he can look tomorrow and see whether he's got another one, he might be able to put off one in Ritzville because he's got to get his other 9 down here. On the other hand, if there's one down here and 6 in Ritzville, he'll know to call the person who requested the inspection today and either make arrangements or schedule it, reschedule it for tomorrow. So it's a dashboard because just like driving your car, you do a quick analysis of where your workload is and what you have to do. Now, on the notification section here, it says I have no messages. So for example, if I had requested Tim to do an inspection, it would show up on his dashboard that he's got an inspection to do. He has a app for his phone and his iPad, so he could go out and do an inspection that day. He would then update, if it passes, he's updated or attach any notes, and when he updates that, it would drop off of his dashboard and it would transfer to my dashboard as the inspection is complete. At the same time, Tricia would get an update letting her know that that the inspection has been completed. So that way, if Angel is calling to ask to check in on a project, Tricia can go in and find out, okay, is it on Tim's list today? Is he done? Where is he? Is he in that area? And so it would allow him to coordinate those. Now, one of the other things that it allows us to do that wasn't necessarily convenient in the way that we currently do things, and that is we currently use BIAS. And BIAS is a financially centered software. And so all of the information is organized around the financial aspects of it. So I don't know if you want me to get into that or if you have any questions so far. Hopefully, you're not falling asleep yet.
I don't know that we are needing to become experts in it. But,
okay.
I mean, this is good help for us to know that we have a system now. It's automated, and it has tracking, and you're able to look at any given time where we are in this process. It's kind of like project management softwares.
It is,
on
yes.
a small basis.
Is this something that a private individual that is the permit pertains to can utilize as well?
Okay, now that is a good question. The answer to that right now is no. You have to have a specific sign up to get on and be able to request. There are a couple features that are going to be available to us hopefully before the end of the year, and that is you will be able to go online and determine where it is in the process, even though you may not be able to see the particulars or the details. The other thing that we're hoping to implement, and that is a building inspection request. So in other words, if Tricia's gone by noon, that means you either have to leave it on her email or voicemail or try and get a hold of her in the morning before Tim gets his assignment for the day and heads out to the field. So you literally could be sitting at home at midnight, log on and be able to request, okay, I want my framing inspection tomorrow.
You know, if there's a private individual building something and he knows that his framing is going to be done on this day, he could go ahead and go online and say, I would be ready for an inspection after this time.
Yes. Ideally, that's exactly where we want to get to, and that's why we're looking at this new system rather than using BIAS. I keep going back to BIAS for a couple reasons in that it does have a functional permitting section, but the value of it is kind of limited. What it does, because it's a finance-based, is I can run a report that tells me how am I doing compared to my budget and how many applications have been submitted. But I can't find out any information about those individual permits unless I then back out into a different system and take a look at that information. When I run reports, it tells me when the permit was issued, but it doesn't tell me when it was last inspected or any kind of that data. And I have to look up each individual case to determine which particular case that is. So it tells me exactly how much money they spent and whether the bills have been paid, but the data is buried for looking into it. So again, this is an example of my first quarter housing report for this year. What it tells me is I have 7 total Four of them are open and three of them are complete, but it doesn't tell me where they are, it doesn't tell me what sizes they are, whether they're single-family residential, any of that kind of information I have looked up individually. And then kind of another example is, here's the housing report for last year, and it has a list here. There are 23 completed new residences. There is one open residence. There's one duplex that has been completed. And then there's a single-family section, which for some reason has 33 open and 21 completed. And so it's very difficult to figure out, okay, what exactly are these additions? Are these new houses? Are they duplexes? Are they accessory dwelling units? You can't really find out that information. I can tell you exactly how much they're valued at and how much they pay, but it takes a lot of time and sweat equity to actually figure out what's going on there. Here's an example of the dashboard that's presented in BIAS, and it tells me all of the permits that are going to expire, all of the partial and unpaid permits, and the estimated permits. So these are the people who are thinking they're going to apply within probably the next couple weeks, next couple months. So I have an idea of the workload, but it doesn't tell me anything about building inspections, who's expecting what to happen next. Also, there is going to be no functionality for the public to get in here and figure out, okay, how many applications are pending, is my neighbor building, or what's going on. There's no portal for the public to get into our financial software at all.
So are those the dates they were opened, or?
Yes, in this it is.
And I think what Mark was requesting when he asked for the staff to provide something that would tell a builder or someone who's going to build something what his timeline is going to be, what his costs are going to be for doing something. You had a column there that said estimated permit fees.
Yeah.
Now, why are those estimated?
Okay, so for example, the Columbia Basin Health Authority project on 14th Avenue, on December 3rd of 2015, they came in and said, okay, when we apply for our plan, what does our check need to say? And we quickly, Tricia entered it and basically said, okay, what's your valuation and what are the fees are going to be due? And they came up with the number of, unfortunately, I can't do this because it's not live, but when you click on this, it would open up the case. Actually, I have a picture of what it would look like. And so in this case, this is the Dan Nygaard hotel site. So he did an application where he wanted to know what his plan check fee would be and his building inspection fee for the hotel when he turns it in. We expect it within the next, actually, it's already been submitted. So he's paid $89.91.45. So almost $9,000 was his application fee to get it in the door to do the plans review. His remainder of $13,800 will be due when he actually gets the permit printed and we start doing the inspection process. So we can estimate, but that's based upon their estimate of what the fees are. So ultimately, if his hotel costs $6 million, that fee would go up. Or if it is a $2 million hotel, it would drop down accordingly. So it's based upon the valuation of that individual fee. Now, the other thing about BIAS is it also allows us to identify the list of the inspections that are required, but it puts them in alphabetical order because that's the way financing software thinks. And putting it in alphabetical
order. On a timeline basis.
No. So, and in this case, you can see, you know, the first one is the basement, and then ceiling grid, lathe or lath or gypsum board, you know, most floor elevation, final firewall. It's in no particular order. The new system, theoretically, if we were to take a contractor like Mark or Angel or Pete Olson, he would be able to get his own identifiable sign-on so that when he signs on at midnight, he will get a look at theoretically all of the applications that are out in his company name, and he can figure out, okay, which ones are due, which ones has he scheduled, which ones have they got kicked back for you need to do this and you need to do that, and then ask for reinspection and we'll sign that off. So anytime there's a sign off, theoretically you would be able to set it up so that you can get an email on your mobile software to let you know when it's done. So you wouldn't even have to call Tricia anymore. It would just automatically give you...
Well, you see corrections, right?
Exactly. And then when...
We could also set up the... If Tricia's gone by noon, we can set up, you know, anytime at night.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
That's great.
So you can request it at any time. And theoretically, and I keep saying theoretically because we are using the city's or the county's system currently. So we're talking about setting up our own case types so that we can animate as much of this as we want to. Part of the potential cost that we would be looking at, and that is this system could be made to, if Angel were to apply for an application from home, he could do it at 9 o'clock at night, and it would send me an email at work that says, an application has been submitted, please do a fully check, fully complete review. It would notify Trish and it would notify Tim. So theoretically, when we walk in the morning, my dashboard won't be empty. It'll have the three applications that Angel submitted. Now, he may or may not get them fully complete on the first day, but it's already in the computer when we get in the morning, as opposed to him having to come down and talk with Trish.
Are we still going to need them on-site sheets, sign-off sheets?
We will. And this system has it electronically, so that you won't necessarily have to have a paper copy, because it will be electronically. If you want a paper copy on site, Tim will sign it. But as soon as he updates it on the computer, it'll automatically update it in the computer.
Okay. So my question is, John Doe comes to town, he comes to City Hall, and he wants to know, what do I have to do to put a donut shop by Kelly's kickstand up there?
Okay.
What do I have to do?
Okay. So we are not doing any kind of land use aspect of that yet, but theoretically that is a module that we would be able to expand into. So they would be able to submit their, they would be able to submit their application or their questions electronically. And one of the things that I was going to show you, where I alluded to, was the, sorry, it's going to take a second for it to come up here.
That's a pretty easy one, Mark, because you already got a street, you already got sidewalks, you already got water line, you already got sewer line, you know, and that's an easy one compared to, oh, I'm going to build out there, but there's no road to get there, and there's no water out there yet, and there's no sewer out there yet.
Well, it's like, you know, what permits do I need? Do I need to pay, what hookup fees do I need? Is there any latecomers fees, you know, that kind of stuff? Because if somebody just comes and thinks, okay, well, I just got to get a building permit and put a building there. We need something that shows,
exactly,
if you're going to put a building there, you need to do this, 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 and this.
That is, unfortunately, beyond the scope of what I'm looking at this point. That is possible. You're talking about the full-on TurboTax. Have you had a kid this year, yes or no? And if the answer is yes, then it asks you a question. Are they blah, blah, blah? Are there medical bills, yada, yada, yada? Do you have a sidewalk? If the answer is no, then it automatically tells you, okay, you need to build a sidewalk, blah, 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 blah. That's kind of the stuff that I do currently. And given enough time and money, you could create a system like that. They're very robust, but it requires a lot of GIS information that is not accurate enough at this point for the county to be able to provide that kind of service. So that, they're kind of stuck calling me. But theoretically, once they know what they're doing, they should be able to get into our system and be able to initiate their building work and their inspection work themselves. We should be able to remove some of the steps between them requesting and the building inspector completing that work.
Mark, are you saying asking this in small scale or big scale? Both?
Yes.
Okay, here's, okay, let me kind of get into this a little bit.
Okay.
So if I'm going to start a development, all right, so I get my contractor involved, I get all my plans, all my drawings, so I get together with the Public Works. So we set up a meeting to kind of go through the plans and get as much information as we need before we start the project. Okay, so that's where you're coming in. You want to know exactly what is needed. Now, and I'm with Mark on this. And the reason I say this is because I had a meeting. I was buying some property in Moses Lake, Harrington 4 and 5. It was about 22 acres. And I went and I met with the city there. So we had city, we had Public Works, we had 4 or 5 guys that sat in front. And I, you know, they knew that I was buying that property. So they called me and they wanted to set up a meeting before I even purchased it. I had some money down on that property. So we want to kind of guide you. We want to let you know what's going on with this property. Mm-hmm. You have to develop it by so-and-so date, because it's been on the books since 08. When the crash happened with the economy, it kind of got put on hold. Mm-hmm. So every latecomer's fee, every hookup, every sewer, every tap, I'm talking, I mean, I was surprised. These guys sat me down and they educated me exactly on what needed to be done. And I think that's where you're coming in at. We'd like to get a little bit more information, not just here's the permit, and then come back, and then, well, you didn't get this done. Well, the tap's $6,500, mm-hmm. You know. And I'll, you know, I think I can say this, you know, there was somebody here in town that built something pretty big, and he wanted his water hookup. I don't know if I can mention any names, but when he wanted to get that place going, he had to come up with $25,000 or $35,000. He didn't even know about it, you know. So can I mention name?
You don't need to.
Leave them out.
Huh? We all
leave them out.
We don't. So that's information that I'm getting from him, and he couldn't. I mean, it took him 2, 3, 4 days to get that paid up, because that was a good chunk of money. So that's the kind of information we're looking for, right, Mark?
Right.
We want to be guided the right direction from the get-go. Yeah. No surprises.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not putting Othello down, but I was very well educated in Moses Lake. When I went out of there, I was in a wow factor, because it was go or stop. That's what we're looking for.
Okay. And this is not necessarily going to get us there, but that's going to be a good part of the discussion that we have for the process fixes that we're looking at doing this summer with the Planning Commission.
Well, I think we're maturing more. We've got different people on staff now. One's Travis, one's myself, and we've matured more, I think, to know that when we sit down with you at a pre-con meeting or a conceptual meeting, Travis knows that those are the kind of things, especially when we get a GIS, more mature GIS system, that we know that you're going to buy this plot that's sitting right there, you know, whatever it might be. Now we can look at it, and now I believe we have the knowledge to actually give you all that. Just like, of course, Moses Lake's got about 3 or 4 times the staff we do. Keep that in mind. So we got people doing 3 or 4 different duties. But I think with Travis's process, not this one, but one he's already implemented, where we go through and you have the different stages along the process, you will know that. Okay, I mean, especially for a big project. And Travis, he's had many sit-down meetings with all these folks already, the pre-conceptual meetings. So now that we know what you're going to do, now we can answer those questions. And I believe that's where we're going to. I realize there were some weaknesses in the past, but we're working towards making that not happen. So before you put a shovel in the ground, are you going to know that you're going to have to pay this fee, that fee, that fee? That's what we're working towards. So there's no misconceptions, okay? So that we know that, you know, what you have in the draw is what you're going to build. If you change it, then we know that's going to bring a change. If not, then here's what's going to be laid out for you. There should not be any surprises. I agree with both of you. There shouldn't be any surprises. I wouldn't want a $25,000 surprise, you know, if it's not going to get the building going. That's just not the right thing to do. So we're working there. Just, this will help, this system he just described. What Travis has already worked on, you know, we're maturing, we're getting there, okay?
And on a good note, because I think I should say this, on a good note, I had a meeting with Varela. None of this was mentioned last week, and that's the direction they're going.
Right.
So I did like that meeting because he gave me other information that is beneficial to the city. It was awesome. And I think we're going that direction, so.
And what we're trying to do with this is we're trying to eliminate the delay in those communications. When you have your building permits pending, we want that communication to be much faster. So that if you forgot something, you know right away, you're not waiting for 3 days for the phone call or to call us back after the long weekend to find out that you forgot to hang the house numbers up on the house. You would know right away. And whether you're on vacation or not, you'd get that email that lets you know. So so theoretically, you'd have it fixed, and the reinspection request would be already submitted by the time we get back to work on Monday. So that's what we're looking for at this point.
Any other questions?
Or are you going on?
If you don't mind, I'll do one more quick thing. The one thing I wanted to point out, and that is what we could potentially achieve. This is the system at Clark County where I used to work. And you can actually go on to your GIS system and you can identify, so finding a piece of property that we're looking at, as you get closer to it, it will tell you which kind of applications or whether there are applications pending on this piece of property. You can click on it. And it will tell you all of the applications that ever existed on this individual piece of property. And where this is kind of relevant is, like in this case, there's data back to 1995, 98, 2004, various different types of permits. So it would let me know that there is a home occupation or a home business in this location. It would let code enforcement know that if there was a code enforcement case on the site, or if they hadn't, you know, if we hadn't never finaled the gas line inspection for the new water heater, that when Tim is there doing the inspection on the rail for the stairs, that he can just turn around and sign off the inspection for the gas line because it's already there. He would know everything that occurs on that individual piece of property. So.
Thank you, Travis.
Mark, are you satisfied? You don't have any more questions?
I probably will later, but...
Yeah, this might be something
we can... I know it's not going to be an overnight thing, and I know you're really busy. I mean, you've been real helpful in everything, and this has been going on for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I don't know how long, forever. You know, it's just something that we need to work on.
Well, we talked about it before within the council, but one thing we never talked about was developing a committee to evaluate it and see what we can do within a committee to develop something to, you know, to specifically go towards the questions you guys have, to be able to get to the cooperation level that you received somewhere else from this city by not making more work for anybody that's overstressed in their job today, but what we could do to prepare ourselves to be more open.
Well, one thing, you know, John, pretty much everybody that had over the guys that I met had some kind of a degree, so that means a lot, period. It's right there. So Varela coming in here is a big plus. It's a good team, you know, that's coming in, and they will educate as well, you know. So I think that's a plus there. And I'm with Wade right here all the way, you know, because we don't have enough staff, you know. So, but we can work towards it, because I'd hate to go, you know, punch into Main Street to get some water and then find out I got a $3,000 tap fee when it was not on the seriously. I need to know that kind of stuff.
That's what I'm...
And I said, or before I even started development, you know, I get 2-3 taps at $100,000, well, heck, you know, it's not going to work for me. So that's very important.
Yeah. I'm just, all I'm trying to do is get to the end result that we're looking for and try to figure out how we could do that.
What more would you ask for, John? Travis pretty much reached you on the direction we're going as we're working towards that, but what more would you want from us to do as we're working towards this? You know, like, where are the problems? Travis has already developed one process already to help builders, you know, big and small, through the whole process from start to finish. We're doing this the system we just talked about, that he showed you some of the aspects of it we can start tapping into as we get more mature into it and get used to it. Would you want a timeline? What would you want?
It's just more of
an upfront.
We can give you an update, you know, a regular update. We can do that.
Wait, you know, real quick. So, for example, Peregrine's put that car wash in. Mm-hmm. So you go there and study it real good. You know, that thing that went with the alley, every tap that went on, everything that, you know, I know there's sometimes you're going to hit some stuff that, man, we didn't know was there. That's a change order, or it might be a, you know, more money, you know, that we have to, that's going to cause us, and we understand that. But we'd like to, you know, at least go to the site and kind of study it, know exactly what's going to need it out there so we can at least have direction.
Right, and that's what Travis is working towards. That's what he was saying. He showed you that system.
Back there, yeah, Mark, what were you going to say?
In the last place he had. So, you know, that's what we're working towards. And we don't want to make it harder for you guys. I mean, we really don't. And that's not, or anybody else coming to town. For goodness sakes, we're all about development. And I still am the chamber board, and I'm all about helping development. So we're trying to, I think we're going down that road.
Yeah.
And if there's glitches, I want to know about them ASAP so we can smooth them out and fix them, you know.
Yeah, this is, like I was saying, John Doe comes, I want to put this donut shop up there. What permits do I need? What's it going to cost for me to hook up, you know, to the water? What's it going to cost to do every little thing before I start? Because if it's going to cost me $100,000 before I even start,
sure.
You know, okay, well, I don't have the money to put in a donut shop. So, you know, that's what I need to know before I start, because I can't afford to put in this donut shop if it's going to cost me $100,000 just to start, and I'm already putting it up. Well, I'm out all this money because I can't afford to put the rest of it up.
I'm with you. That's one of your things.
I'll give you a good example. When we put that coffee stand over there on 24, everything was permitted, finished it. Back when Kurt was here, he says, Angel, you have to pave the whole thing because the rocks are going to get stuck in the tires and they're going to take them out to the highway. Well, guess what? There's like 800 tires that get on that highway from Flamingo, Angel Garza Trucking, Oasis Trucking, all the gas stations that are there. So I get fed that information that I need to blacktop that because there's rocks going on Highway 24, you know, and that's like a $20,000 bill. So now you're telling me when I'm ready to flick my sign on? That's the kind of stuff.
Well, hopefully that won't happen on my watch. If it does, I don't know about it.
Yeah.
That was about 7 or 8 years ago, so hopefully we're past that for sure.
Right, and that's what we're looking at getting past.
Yeah. Yeah, we're past that, I believe. And I can't emphasize enough that we're working towards the goal of just what you said, Mark. Somebody walks through the door, he sits down with Travis. It's already happening, but we can mature it enough, I believe, with that system that Travis is just talking about. And we know what the permits are. I mean, he just showed you that system there. And it's the ranch comes up. You can sit down with the guy and toggle over to where the property is, and the information comes up, and there it all is. So, as well as any funky rules like blacktop, so the gravel won't make it seem as weird, but anyway, on the highway. But those individual things. So we've had some. We haven't been dealing with the A-team. As you all are well aware of, some previous people in other positions weren't doing the job that they should have been doing. And that's what we've been, Charlotte Terry and I were just having a conversation this morning. You know, I don't know if we can correct everything in the time we've got here before, you know, we retire or move on to something else. So we're working hard. I'm just telling you guys, we're working to try and get to that point and not and remove any and all roadblocks to development. If there's any out there, then I want to know about them ASAP, and so does Travis. Because that's our job, is to remove those roadblocks. So we'll get there. We'll get there. Just and we'll give you an update. We'll put it on calendar 6 months from now, or 3 months from now, whatever y'all want, to update where we are with this. Travis, come back, give me another briefing. But and we could even do a simulation where we could have somebody come in and theoretically say, I'm going to take one of the vacant lots over here, like what you guys have, maybe one down somewhere else that's not as developed. Probably that's probably a better one to do, one that's not as developed, you know, with all the stuff in it. Let's take one and do a simulation and say, okay, I'm coming in, I want to develop right here. But I need somebody, you know, one of you guys who's familiar with development to ask the right questions. So, and then we'll see where we are. And then 6 months from now, we'll see how much better it is. We'll do another simulation. You know, that's some, you know, previous experience there. That's the way we do business. So, you know, that's one idea to look at it. But I need feedback. It's not working.
So do we have anything in place whereby, let's just say, for instance, this is hypothetical, that a business comes into town and they see that there's a $23,000 hookup charge for latecomers fee on a 6-inch water line, and they need a 6-inch water line into their business. But within their budget, within the money that they have available to do their development, to build their building, and to start their business, they can't afford that $23,000 hit. Is there a way that you can work with them on a debt to service for that fee, that they could pay that off over time? Or is there a, you've got to have the money before you get the tap?
I don't know. That's a Spencer question. Spencer, I don't think we have a vehicle in place like that, if there's something that exists like that.
That'd be tough, John, because that you're talking we're using city funds and then paying it, we're financing paying it, you know, we're tight as it is.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, but, now listen, what I'm talking about is the individual's gonna hook up to an already existing water line. He's gonna pay for the hot tap to be done, and he's paying for everything to be put in, the meter, the everything. The fee that we charge within our ordinance for a 6-inch water line connection is $23,000. And that's paying the debt on the service, on the water line itself that's been put in 15 years ago, okay, by the city of Othello. That's his debt to that service. Now, he doesn't have the $23,000 to make the connection. That might take him away from the game. He may not want to put in the business, but if he could do it and then pay for it over time on a monthly bill.
Yeah, because that's pretty much no cost to the city. You're right there. I'm with you there. So you're spreading out. That'd be up. Yeah, that'd
Roger,
be.
You got something you want
to. You're going to run afoul lending the credit of the state or the municipality for a private benefit, and that's unconstitutional under the state constitution. There've been lots of case law and stuff like that. In other words, you can't set up the community as a bank, because that's what we're doing. If you're going to finance someone and say, okay, $23,000 payable over 5 years, you don't get to do that, because then we're a creditor.
But it's and systems. It's, the system's bought. It's paid for. There's a connection fee. There's a connection fee. Why does it the connection fee cost, which has nothing to do with anything other than you're going to connect to the system, why does that have to be paid for up front?
Because by ordinance, you said if you are going to connect a 6-inch water line, you pay X amount. If you want to come back and redo the connection fee structure, that's a different
within the ordinance.
Yeah.
Okay, so you could rewrite the ordinance to allow for that to occur.
Well, but again, if you're going to have payment over time, you're going to, John, you're going to run into lending the credit of this community. Mm-hmm. And that's unconstitutional. You can't have the state, as I said, become the bank for a developer. And that's what you got to work. When I said, talked about redoing the structure, maybe you say, well, in order to encourage development, instead of charging a late hookup fee of, you know, $23,000, we're going to do it for $10,000. And that's a considered decision. You guys have just changed the fee structure. And if you want to do that, that you could do. Because the $23,000, that comes, you know, after considered deliberation, basically, of what we should charge. But if the community wants to encourage development, maybe you guys want to just, you know, ratchet down the fees.
I had been part of a conversation.
You could do that.
I had been kind of part of a conversation, but it was a growth management jurisdiction, so it was under slightly different rules. And when we were having this discussion, what the developers actually told us is, in the end, if you have, say, for example, the $23,000 hookup for a commercial business, that when you do a commercial loan amortized over the life of that entire commercial loan, the per month payment on that, just like if it was a single family residence and you had a $2,000 hookup fee, it's easier to include that as part of the housing cost, which is, you know, an extra $3 a month for 30 years, for a 30-year mortgage. It's easier for them to pay that $3 a month on the extra mortgage than it would be to actually ask them for another $100 a month for the next 18 months.
That's why we need to, or the developer or whoever needs to know that up front before they start building.
Wade, I like your idea about a simulator. I mean, I've heard this stuff before, that people come in and get about half done, and, oh, by the way, you got to pay for this too. Oh, you didn't know that? No, you didn't tell me. But I know that in the last couple of years that the mayor has got a good team going here, and it's going the right way. They're working to make it work for the people coming in to build in Othello. But I would really like to see a simulator put up where you could get somebody, Angel or yourself, to come in and get a lot somewhere that doesn't have the sidewalk, doesn't have anything. And what does a city, when Mark walks in there, what is it going to cost me right now to get a permit? And what loopholes do I have to go through? I don't want to have to come back 3-4 months from now and say, well, you didn't tell me.
My life would be much easier if I could give you one answer and stick to it. Inevitably, what happens, though, is I'll say, creating more work for myself, I'll say, oh, well, you know, if you did this, you wouldn't have to do that. Or you could avoid this if you did that. You move this here, and now you only need to do that. And then you decide to put in an 8-inch instead of a 6-inch, or a 6-inch instead of an 8-inch. Now, all of a sudden, everything I've said to that point, we need to renegotiate it, because we're talking different sizes, we're talking different layouts, and you liked my idea, so you redesigned your whole project, and now everything I told you is. So it's a double-edged sword in that, you know, I can only be so helpful, especially if you haven't figured out exactly what you want to do. Whereas, you know, stuff like Dee's Car Wash, if you knew how big your pipe was, we should have been able to tell you on the first day how much it should have cost you to get there. That's not unreasonable. Where we get ourselves into trouble is we negotiate compromises and come up with new ideas, and new things come out of it.
Well, a good example would be across the street from Leprechaun. I just see that lot sold. I don't know if somebody's going to build something there or what, but when they build there, they're going to have to put in the sidewalk all the way around.
Yeah.
And that would be something they would know. And my example of John Doe's donut shop, say he was going to get on that corner lot, that would be very important for him to know. If he puts that corner lot in, he's going to have to do that sidewalk both down Main and down 12th Street or whatever that is there. Or if he just moves over a little bit, he could save thousands and thousands of dollars if he bought the center strip or something.
Yeah.
I think we can do that.
Oh, really?
You know, it's, if we're not doing that, then shame on us, and we better be doing it, because we can't. afford to have developers or somebody that wants to do a donut shop or hopefully a nice restaurant, needs to have all the cars in the ticket. I agree with that, Sam. I think we're moving.
Yes, we are, and I think this has been a very good discussion. I think it helps the council. I think it helps staff to understand what direction we want to go in. And I'd like to move on in our agenda. Basically, this was just an update. I think Travis is pretty aware now of what the council is looking at and would like to see. I think we all want to see that. And like you said, Mark, it isn't going to happen overnight. It's been a problem for, you know, quite a number of years, but we are working on it, and staff is working on that. And the Planning Commission is going to be involved, and some of you guys will be involved, and the mayor and the Public Works Department, the Travis's department, the administrator, and anybody else in the city. It's a big thing to try and overcome, because there's a lot. The problem is there's just so many contingencies that can happen. There's just so many different ways this could turn out on any given project that it's hard to sit down and say definitively, you're going to need to do this, 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 and this, when your plans aren't even that set when you come in to talk to them. You're just kind of feeling out the idea. And so as your plans solidify and become, and your issues become more specific, Travis can be more specific. But until, but if it's just this big idea, then that's going to be a little difficult for Travis to try and ascertain every, you know, permutation or matrix of your project and what's going to exactly be required. So, like he said half an hour ago, until we get the TurboTax program that enters into the equation, we're still going to continue to work and build on that program.
But even though, even if it's an idea, with all due respect, I should be able to sit in front of Travis or somebody, whoever it is, and get an idea of what's needed. Mm-hmm. Before I go out there, I'm not going to go pay $10,000 for a set of plans and then find out that it didn't work. Mm-hmm. So even with that idea that I'm giving them, I should have known that there should have been black, you know, that blacktop was needed there, that my tap was going to be $5,000, that I needed to landscape that, you know, stuff like that. So I think we can do that. I think it's needed, because it kind of gives you a motion to go forward or stop. You can't come with a plan and then try to get everything, because you just spent money on it.
I agree. All right, let's move on. Item 4.4 is emergency management ordinance, and Chief, you have some information about this new ordinance.
Mayor and Council, thank you. When I came on, I started going through the ordinances that I felt we needed. In this case, this ordinance is actually what we're asking is to repeal the
Civil defense.
Municipal civil defense. I think it was written back in the 50s or 60s. The problem with that one is it wasn't compliant with National Incident Management System and the Incident Command. It wasn't approved by the state. What this ordinance does is it establishes an emergency operations plan or emergency management plan, and it establishes an emergency management organization for the city. It gives us the flexibility to contract it out, and currently we are contracted with Adams County to provide those services. This gives us the ability, if we were to choose to also or separately create our own. The Washington state law actually requires, and it's RCW 3852, that the plan be approved by the state. The current plan, we have no plan, so we have had a plan, so we weren't in compliance. This will make us compliant with RCW, and at the same time, help me get accredited next week. So there's a piece that's missing that I'll bring to council at one of the next council meetings. And that's OMC 2.62, which actually establishes the emergency powers of the mayor, council, and city administrator. And basically, it'll have the documentation of the proclamation of how you know, if there was a major disaster, how the council would go about declaring that. And the purpose for that is after that's declared, they can actually do emergency spending and stuff, which I think, you know, if you think very big disaster, we're not talking small stuff. We need to have this stuff in place, and that's what we've been working towards getting. Any questions?
Thank you, council. I need a motion.
Make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion to adopt the ordinance repealing existing Othello Municipal Code, Chapter 2.60, titled Municipal Civil Defense, and creating a new Othello Municipal Code, Chapter 2.60, titled Emergency Management.
I'm sorry, one more thing, last thing. Before we move forward, I did want to let council know, we did have council, Kelly Conkret and I have been trading this back and forth for quite some time to get it to the point it's at.
That's helpful. We have a motion made and second. Is there any further discussion on this ordinance? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Chief, you're not done, because we have a speed limit agenda memo and a speed limit ordinance for Broadway, I believe.
Yes, Mayor and Council. Last council meeting, council asked us to come back. They approved the speed limit and the changes that we made for Main Street out front. But there was some discussion on Broadway and whether we should continue Broadway at 35 miles an hour all the way through. We put the traffic counter out there, measured the speed. Travis and I do agree that it does support, you know, a speed of 35 miles an hour all the way through. And this ordinance will accomplish that. You'll see that there's some back out through it, and that's because we don't need three different sentences to say what one sentence will. And by making Broadway one speed all the way through, it's actually simpler language.
So you approve, or you recommend approval of these code changes and speed limit change?
I do, sir. And the reason, and I'll just very quickly elaborate on that, it's very important that we increase the speeds on our arterials, because when they're the same speed as our neighborhoods, people are going to continue to cut through neighborhoods. And what we're trying to do is get people out onto those arterials where and out of the neighborhoods. So this again is one of those pieces. Main is one of those. We should be looking as we come up with our traffic plans, we have to identify those arterials and make it beneficial for our citizens to get out there and drive on them at an increased speed so they get out of the neighborhoods.
I agree.
Yep.
I'll entertain a motion to approve this speed change on Broadway.
I make that motion.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Chief. In unfinished business, item 5 on our agenda, there is a legislative reception that I've mentioned a couple of times, that's this Thursday in Olympia at 6:30 p.m. in the basement conference Columbia room in at the Capitol. So I am going. Is there anybody else that's planning on going?
I'm going to try.
You're going to try?
Yeah, I've got some things I have to rearrange on my calendar, but I'm going to try.
Okay. I know everybody, it just seemed like everybody is busy at the moment, but if you guys have a last second change of heart, maybe let myself or Gina know, and if there's some way we can do something together, we will. Is there any other unfinished business that needs to come before the council tonight?
Yes. I don't know if this is the time to bring it up, but we talk about these crosswalks and these kids out here going across here, you know, some of them use them, some of them don't. But I've been watching down here at Columbia Basin Hill. Mm-hmm. Is there any way that we can get a crosswalk right about halfway where they all walk across? I mean, is there something we can grab a paintbrush and go out there and do that, or what?
Thank you. I'll let staff respond to that.
It just so happens that I've been talking to Columbia Basin Health Authority, and they own the grass lot across the street, and next to their existing parking lot, and they were talking about leveling that site and using the fill material to take it down to their 14th Avenue Clinic site. And in our conversation, I suggested, well, gosh, if you put gravel down, you could use it as a parking lot. You could get all of those people off of the streets so they wouldn't be parking in the public right-of-way. The neighbors would be really happy, and in the end, everybody would be hopefully walking across that crosswalk right there at the corner rather than making their way across the street. So that may end up solving itself pretty quick because we may be able to get change their behavior by virtue of giving them free parking. So.
That answer your question?
Yes, it did.
Thank you. Any other unfinished business?
Do we know when the 14th Avenue is going out?
Well, the bid, it's supposed to go out this week, but we didn't get the changes back from the jurors. So we're hoping for next week. And we put the pressure on the jurors. Changes.
Has the bid gone out for the skate park yet?
Skate park, that's to go out for bid there shortly too. We had a discussion. Well, Terry had a discussion with Kurt last week, and I can't remember when he said he was going out for bid, but it's going to be the next week or two with that as well.
Okay. Is there any new business to come for the council tonight? Anything you'd like staff to research, look into? Okay. Item 7, council will also receive the following department head reports, 7.1. And I do want to ask council, do you need Roger to, do you need us to go to executive session?
No.
Okay.
You can announce it. Hey, it happened in open court.
Okay,
you,
so.
You were there.
I was there.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Wade.
Mm-hmm. So, Terry and I went to Ritzville today for a court with the Simmons case, where they sued us for the sewer thing. We'd asked for summary judgment to dismiss. They'd asked for summary judgment to, of course, win. Both sides presented the case. I'll say that Kelly did an excellent job presenting our side of the story, and the judge dismissed their summary judgment and approved ours. So,
you won the case.
Sorry.
Means we won. Yeah, we prevailed. So the city
has a chance. They can always appeal, of course, but at this point,
that's probably a pretty lousy record to appeal on.
So that was something that had been going on now for about a year. So now that has been resolved. So unless they go to appeal. And we're having nothing further to come before tonight's meeting. I will adjourn at 7:40 p.m.